Never before or since has a botanical party enjoyed greater triumphs. Partly it was because the voyage took in so many new or little-known places. Tierra del Fuego, Tahiti, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea. But mostly it was because Banks was such an astute and inventive collector. Even when unable to go ashore at Rio de Janeiro because of a quarantine, he sifted through a bale of fodder sent for the ship's livestock and made new discoveries. Nothing, it seems, escaped his notice. Altogether, he brought back 30,000 plant specimens, including 1,400 not seen before, enough to increase by about a quarter the number of known plants in the world. But Banks's grand cache was only part of the total haul in what was an almost absurdly acquisitive age. Plant collecting in the 18th century became a kind of international mania. Glory and wealth alike awaited those who could find new species, and botanists and adventurers went to the most incredible lengths to satisfy the world's craving for horticultural novelty. Thomas Nuttall, the man who named the wisteria after Caspar Wistar, came to America as an uneducated printer, but discovered a passion for plants, and walked halfway across the country and back again, collecting hundreds of growing things never seen before. John Fraser, for whom is named the Fraser Fir, spent years in the wilderness collecting on behalf of Catherine the Great, and emerged at length to find that Russia had a new Tsar who thought he was mad and refused to honour his contract. Fraser took everything to Chelsea, where he opened a nursery and made a handsome living selling rhododendrons, azaleas, magnolias, Virginia creepers, asters, and other colonial exotica to a delighted English gentry. Huge sums could be made with the right finds. John Lyon, an amateur botanist, spent two hard and dangerous years collecting specimens, but cleared almost $200,000 in today's money for his efforts. Many, however, just did it for the love of botany. Nuttall gave most of what he found to the Liverpool Botanic Gardens. Eventually he became director of Harvard's Botanic Garden, and author of the encyclopedic Genera of North American Plants, which he not only wrote, but also largely typeset. And that was just plants. There was also all the fauna of the New Worlds, kangaroos, kiwis, raccoons, bobcats, mosquitoes, and other curious forms beyond imagining. The volume of life on Earth was seemingly infinite, as Jonathan Swift noted in some famous lines, "So naturalists observe, a flea hath smaller fleas that on him prey, and these have smaller still to bite 'em, and so proceed ad infinitum."